From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we're your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Yes, this hour we are going to talk about the top 8 conspiracies that are turning out to be true. Let me open this discussion by pointing out that in May of 1997, President Bill Clinton stood in the White House's East Room, and he said to the American people, as well as a group of elderly folks in front of him, quote, "What was done cannot be undone, but we can end the silence. We can stop turning our heads away. We can look you in the eye and finally say, on behalf of the American people, what the United States government did was shameful, and I am sorry," end quote. You don't hear that very often from a president. What was he talking about? Well, he was talking about the Tuskegee experiment that took place from 1932 to 1972 in Alabama. And that is when the U.S. government initiated a program that lied to and betrayed hundreds of African-American men who thought they were getting free medical care. In fact, what was really happening is that these government doctors were recognizing when these men had syphilis and then intentionally leaving it untreated for decades, so medical researchers could study the disease and find out how it progressed. Even when it was known that penicillin could cure the disease, the men in the study did not get it. By the time the study was exposed in 1972, 28 men had died of syphilis. 100 others were dead of related complications. At least 40 wives had been infected, and 19 children had contracted the disease at birth. Now, we're talking about the United States government admitting that they were experimenting on their own U.S. citizens. And if you think, well, this is just something that the government used to do to poor people in Alabama, think again, because it's also come to light that for years, the CIA was experimenting by taking drugs of various kinds and putting them into the drinks of esteemed scientists. We're talking about wealthy, successful, white-collar men because they wanted to see if these drugs would change the behavior of the scientists and maybe loosen them up and make them more liable to spill secrets. LSD was just one of the drugs the CIA was putting in people's drinks and then studying their behavior. So if you think that the U.S. government does not experiment on its citizens, well, think again. And I'm sure it's happening still somewhere right now, and we'll get an apology maybe in another 40 years.
Are you familiar at all with Plum Island?
Is that the one off the coast of New York State?
Yeah, well, off of Long Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do a virus, mm-hmm. you know, place. They do animal testing and viruses, but there's a lot of reports that they might be doing experiments on prisoners or convicts or terrorists in there mm-hmm. as well due to certain things that have washed up. And we've driven by there on the boat. And if you get too close, they will announce loudly to you that they have the power to eliminate you for being too close to the facility. Like, wow. I've looked at it through binoculars, but that's about it. That's pretty creepy. There's like weird turtle, duck, like animals that don't exist are washing up on the shores around there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, conspiracies are real. As I said earlier in the program, every single day, a lot of people are convicted of criminal conspiracy in the U.S. justice system. Speaking of Bill Clinton, I mean, he conspired to cover up his relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Obviously, Watergate was a big conspiracy. We also have conspiracies that were done supposedly for the good of the people, like conspiring to keep the Manhattan Project a secret or the D-Day invasion, etc. But conspiracies are real. And so I was searching around the internet recently, and I found this article at collectiveevolution.com by Arjun Walia, and it's called The Top 8 Conspiracy Theories That Are Turning Out to Be True. And so I'm going to use this as sort of a guideline, and we're going to go through and we're going to talk about each of these 8 conspiracies and see what we think of them. Number one on the list is kind of weird to me, because to me, I've never thought of this as a conspiracy. I just accepted this as a blatant truth. It is called the Black Budget. And here's what is written. Prior to Edward Snowden, the former NSA employee who leaked classified information, if you told somebody you thought there existed what seems to be a separate civilization, a part of humanity that broke off in secret, and in thousands, if not, or is thousands, if not millions of years more advanced than the mainstream academic, scientific, technical world, well, there's absolutely no doubt you would have been brushed off by many as a crazy conspiracy theorist. But when Snowden leaked the very first documentation proving the existence of clandestine black budget operations, that all changed. Despite these recent leaks, many are still unaware of the black budget world and the fact that it had been investigated and talked about before these leaks. And of course, this always reminds us of that farewell address by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, where he warned us about the military-industrial complex that was forming. I have said before on this show, and I'll repeat it now, I believe that it's very obvious that the most advanced technology being produced on planet Earth is being produced by people in the military with access to the black budget. And that's because if you go to a mainstream university or laboratory, those scientists have to go out and they have to justify why they want their budget in order to do an experiment. And they have to talk about what they think the possible benefits will be. And everything has to be laid out and scrutinized by everybody. And they're trying to not only understand an effect, but how that effect is achieved. In the military, they don't care about how something works. All they care about is if it works. And earlier this year, I had the rare opportunity to see the speech that Bob Lazar gave. Well, it wasn't a speech. He was on stage having a discussion about the work he supposedly did at Area 51. And he said that he was presented with an engine that was taken from a UFO, and they told him, look, we don't care necessarily how this thing works. We just want you to figure out how to make another one. And so that gives you a lot of latitude and flexibility when it comes to asking for resources, when the goal of the military is not to understand and unravel all the mysteries of the universe, but to simply find something that seems to create a desired effect and use it however it works. And that means often there may be things happening that are unintended consequences. So I'll throw that one out to you guys, Sam and Shelley. Are you at all surprised about the fact that there is a black budget and plenty of people conspiring to keep that research secret?
Nope.
No, I mean, why? Surprised? No.
No.
I mean, yeah, yeah. I wasn't either, so that's why I was.
There's lots of things that go on at the higher levels I don't know what your security clearance is, but mine is probably nil. There's a lot of things that go on every minute of every day that we don't necessarily even need to know about. Because if we did, all it would do is worry the normal lay person, such as you or I. And it's not really in our pay grade to worry about those things, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to item number two on the list, 9/11. Oh, boy. The article says here, the tragedy that unfolded on September 11th, 2001 was horrific. To this day, and despite the fact that many of the victims' families themselves questioned the events of that day, many still consider anyone suspicious of 9/11 to be a conspiracy theorist. It's important to mention that the mainstream media has played a large part in pushing this idea that anybody who questions what happened on that day is nuts. According to the latest polls, more than 150 million people in America alone do not believe the official explanation given to them by their government when it comes to 9/11. And the same amount actually suspect a controlled demolition of World Trade Center Building 7. And then they go on to say there is a tremendous amount of evidence to support all these claims and others, like the fact the supposed Al-Qaeda terrorist group was in fact a creation of the CIA, and yet many people have a hard time hearing about that, let alone thinking about this as a possible reality. You know what's funny? I have to reference Jim Mars here again, because Jim Mars always said, look, 9/11 was the product of a conspiracy. That's not even a question. The question is, whose version of the conspiracy do you believe? Do you believe it was a bunch of guys who were being operated from a group in a cave with a laptop, you know, out of Afghanistan? Or do you believe that it was a conspiracy that involved much higher priority figures?
What would be the reasoning for or the theory, the logic behind our government having a part in that? Would that just be to like have a valid reason to start a incident?
Yes, it would be an excuse to go in to war and profit all of these war profiteers. I mean, for example, one of the big reasons that Kennedy assassination conspiracists say that Kennedy was assassinated is because he was not all gung-ho to go into Vietnam.
True.
And that you know, when we went to Vietnam, a lot of people, like the Huey Helicopter Company, made a ton of money. And that was money that was going to be spent at the end of World War II, but we didn't have to invade Japan because, well, they got nuked, and so they had a lot of material invested in this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll move on to item number three on our list of the top eight conspiracies turning out to be true. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil.
Traffic, another day of feeling nothing. Trying to find something, I guess it's back to huffing. Paint and model blue on how I die when I look at you smiling. Loving life, and all I know is blue. Rainy days and cold stairs, broken love affairs. Everything's beautiful as long as I ain't there. I guess I wasn't meant to crack a smile. Who cares? I think I'll go to sleep all night. Show me that silver light.
Yes, the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402, or you can go directly to their website for a map and more information. It's WrightsCoinShop.com. W-R-I-G-H-T-S, no apostrophe, W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. And while you're clicking around on the net, I hope that you'll go to JoshuaPWarren.com, check out some of the cool stuff I have there, including my gallery of the strange, and learn about my curiosity shop as well. We have the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home, created by me and my team. We have the wishing machine, all kinds of cool stuff there at joshuapwarren.com. Right now we're talking about the top 8 conspiracy theories that are turning out to be true, according to this article on this website, collectiveevolution.com. And I thought, you know, this is good inspiration for a conversation. Let's pause and take stock of how the conspiracy thinking is working out these days. I was talking about 9/11 conspiracies and how that there are always people out there who say that when the U.S. goes to war, and we do that a lot, that we go to war and immediately make a lot of corporations very rich, and that those corporations are so heavily invested in war that some of these terribly unscrupulous people may even help coordinate incendiary events that make the public rise up and angrily support the idea of going to war. There are a lot of fishy things regarding 9/11. There's no doubt about it. Just the way the buildings fell and all that, you know, people have talked that to death. It's also weird that there was a training exercise that was taking place at the same time made it confusing for a lot of the authorities. They were training for a terrorist attack, and they were thinking, is this part of the training or is this real? And so that kind of delayed some of the reactions and some of the response. And then, of course, there is this amazing TV episode for a show. I think it was a pilot called The Lone Gunman that was kind of a spinoff of The X-Files. And if you've never seen this, you should just go to YouTube sometime. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Maybe it maybe not. Maybe it's somewhere else. But type in The Lone Gunman pilot, and you'll see the plot of the show is just incredibly similar to the events of 9/11. And later, one of the producers of that said that he had some friends who were with the CIA who told him in advance, this is the kind of thing that's probably going to happen. And so it inspired the fiction. So there are a lot of weird things, no doubt about it. But all that said, start with you, Sam. Do you feel that there was some vast conspiracy there regarding 9/11?
On that one, I'm going to say no. What do I know? But my feeling is, while that is definitely, as the Mythbusters would say, plausible, mm-hmm. I don't see it. I think there's other ways that could have been and probably have been employed in the past that have worked just as well if they wanted to do that. But
right. Without going to that extreme.
Right.
How about you, Shelley?
I don't want to think that our government could have done something like that to its citizens. I mean, I don't even want to go there. Now, do I think that there was probably some covering up of things by our government having to do with that? Yeah, sure. But I don't want to think that our government actually perpetrated that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next on the list, number 3 here. UFOs. Oh, boy. Let me just pause here for a moment to clarify that, you know, a UFO is simply an unidentified flying object. And so, really, that terminology is based on a very subjective experience, because something that's unidentified to me or unidentifiable to me might not be unidentifiable to you. I'm sure that if I'm standing outside and I see some weird light in the sky, my opinion of that might be very different from that of, say, an airline pilot who just knows more in general about how things are supposed to look in the sky.
Like refractions and stuff like that, light refractions. And
yeah. And in fact, Dr. Stephen Greer, who is from the Asheville area, or at least lived a good part of his life in around Western North Carolina, he, of course, is one of the biggest UFO experts out there. And I remember seeing him speak one time at UNCA, and he was saying that actually within the knowledgeable circles in the government, they don't call them UFOs. They call them ETVs, which are extraterrestrial vehicles. So there's a big, huge difference between an unidentified flying object and an extraterrestrial vehicle. So maybe that kind of terminology is more appropriate when it comes to what most of us are usually thinking about when we talk about UFOs. But anyway, the article says this is a very big one. And as with 9/11 in the United States alone, at least half of all Americans say that we're not alone in the universe. 50% of Americans already believe there is some form of life on other planets, while only 17% think there is absolutely not. A quarter of Americans believe that intelligent extraterrestrial visitors have already come to Earth and have been doing so for a long time. And why do they believe this? The article says the answer is simple. As former Princeton professor and NASA astronaut Dr. Brian O'Leary remarked, quote, there is abundant evidence, end quote, clearly indicating there is something going on in our atmosphere and around our planet which deserves attention. And, of course, there is a lot of evidence that comes in the form of statements made by high-ranking military personnel, political personnel, etc. So, you know, I feel personally that, indeed, this planet has been visited by extraterrestrials or ultra-terrestrials. Whatever they are visitors from elsewhere. And I've never seen an alien. I mean, for example, I was speaking at a conference a while back, and afterward there was a session where people could come up and meet me. And one guy just walked up to me and just said point blank, are aliens real? And I told the guy, I said, well, I've never seen an alien. But I've also never walked on the moon. But I do believe humans walked on the moon. And so you don't have to personally experience everything to believe it's real. And I think that just some of the confessions from these military personnel are powerful enough alone to convince me that that we have been visited. So I don't think the U.S. is ever going to reveal that, but they may be forced to at some point if something major happens that they can no longer conceal. When we come back, we'll see what Sam and Shelley think about that one. Because, yes, it is break time. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Ah.
Yet, speaking of strange, broadcasting tonight out of Asheville, North Carolina, heart of the oldest mountains in North America, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And we're talking tonight about the top 8 conspiracy theories that are turning out to be true, according to this website, collectiveevolution.com. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Go to speakingofstrange.com for a link to Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville. Off the air, during the break there, Shelley said, you know, you interviewed an astronaut, right? And I said, yeah, maybe I should mention that just as one of many examples that I can give regarding why I think that there are aliens out there. According to NASA, only 12 men walked on the moon, and one of them was Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who just recently passed away. And Dr. Mitchell came on this program, Speaking of Strange, and he told me and all of us that before he went to the moon, he was briefed and told that there are at least 4 different types of humanoid alien creatures, just in case he might encounter one. Now, Dr. Mitchell was as celebrated and decorated and highly qualified as anybody you can possibly imagine. Everything else he ever talked about the rest of his life seemed very rational. Why would he just make up that one thing? And it's not like he just came on this show and said this one time. I mean, he said that on many different programs. So that's just one example that I like regarding why that, you know, maybe I've never seen an alien, but I think they're out there, and I think we know about it. So how do you feel about it, Sam?
Aliens? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that is in the realm of possibility. There's a lot of space in space, and it seems even if you are a devout believer of a creator and whatnot, it would seem to be rather foolish to believe that we're the only things, mm-hmm. And that this is the only tiny speck of dust in an entire cosmos, that like we're that important. But
all right, Shelley, what's your opinion?
You know, I got a lot of stuff to think about. I really don't want to think about aliens and UFOs being real, being true, because then it's just something else to worry about. But, I mean, thinking about the astronaut that you interviewed, and he was so credible. I mean, everybody, there are so many people that give these credible accounts. You can't discount that. There's got to be something to it. So, yeah, I guess I'm in the camp of believing, but I don't want to, you know?
All right, sure. Okay, number 4 on the list, geoengineering and solar radiation management via stratospheric spraying.
What?
Let me condense that down to you, for you. We're talking about chemtrails. That is the idea that the governments are injecting particles into the atmosphere to do various things that maybe they're not revealing to us. It could be everything from combating climate change to putting out chemicals that manipulate the way we think and behave. It says Dr. Matthew Watson, PhD, a researcher in the Department of Earth Sciences at the University of Bristol, is one of many scientists who are warning against this practice, but it is far from conspiracy theory, because we know, this is mainstream now, weather was modified using these techniques for the Olympic Games in China. And if you are an observer of the skies and a researcher of geoengineering, it says you'll know there is a sufficient amount of evidence to suggest that this kind of spraying is already occurring. You know, what's interesting is I have been in contact with people over the years who have told me, if you take a cup and just leave it outside for a while, maybe a week, and then collect probably some rain in there or whatever, and then you take that cup and you analyze it. If you've got a facility to do that, you'll find all kinds of bizarro chemicals there that just shouldn't naturally be there. And so, look, I have no doubt that this kind of thing is being done, at very least, for weather modification. It could be for more sinister things like, you know, again, mind control, behavior control. But, I think that there's going to be some disclosure someday that the governments have been spraying chemicals everywhere. And by the way, there's a difference between a contrail, which is basically just moisture that a jet leaves behind it, versus a chemtrail. They look a little different. And I went to the inauguration of President Barack Obama. It was the only time I've ever gone to witness a presidential inauguration. And honestly, I'll tell you in full disclosure, I would have gone that year regardless of who won. I just had an opportunity to go, and I had a nice place to stay. So, but I'll never forget how many of these like weird looking chemtrails were all just crisscrossing the sky the days before and during that inauguration. And I wondered, is this something that's being done either to ensure a certain type of weather or a certain type of behavior? But
remember, it was so cold that day, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was freezing cold. Were you there?
No, I got fired that day. I remember that.
It was a very memorable day.
But
it was so, oh, gosh, tell me about it. Yeah, I actually called in live and did a report on Matt Matan's program, Take a Stand. Fortunately, I got to go to the office where the congressmen are, and I interviewed Congressman Heath Shuler. And
nice guy he was.
Yeah. And I covered that, you know, really for News Radio 570. I was the only person who was at the inauguration. But that's a whole big story about that day. That was a wacky day. But anyway, I think that there's something to this whole idea of chemtrails. Sam, how about you?
I'll go yes on that one. Because I know that we can and have altered weather before. So it doesn't actually seem that difficult to do, especially on a individual basis. Like maybe altering the entire weather patterns for the East Coast or something would be a little far-fetched. Mm-hmm. But if they needed to do something above a stadium, you know, I could see that. As for doing that and also interjecting other chemicals and stuff that could, you know, dissolve, rain down, whatever. Yeah, I'd say there's a lot I don't know.
Okay. Shelley, what's your opinion on that one?
You know what? The government is so inept at doing such simple things. It's kind of hard to believe that they could do that.
You don't think that they're inept for on purpose?
Golly, you'd have to be rather, like...
They could be efficient when they want to be.
Really? Because I've never seen that.
Okay, let's move along here. We're getting short on time. Number five. Now, this seems obvious to me. A small group of elite people and the corporations they run own everything. To me, it's like, duh.
Yeah, duh.
I mean, obviously, every organization is a pyramid structure. It starts at the base where you have most of the individuals involved who don't really know the objective or the actual agenda. And then the number of people gets smaller and smaller as you go up the pyramid until finally at the very top you have one or five people or whatever. Who
the guy who got me believing in that was Nori, after hearing him talk about that, you know?
Yeah, well, it makes sense to me. It's just completely logical. And so, yeah, no need spending more time on that one. Number six. Now, this, you know what? This is a conspiracy that's been around a long time, but I actually think that there's something to it. Water fluoridation.
Yeah.
It says here, there is a reason why so many countries and communities around the world have recently stopped the practice of putting fluoride into their drinking water. And according to a former VP and senior chemist at the U.S. EPA, quote, if this stuff gets out into the air, it's a pollutant. If it gets into the river, it's a pollutant. If it gets into a lake, it's a pollutant. But it goes right straight into your drinking water system, and it's not a pollutant. That's amazing, end quote.
I don't know a whole lot about that. I know we had it growing up down in Florida, like it was fluoride water.
Yeah.
What is it
well,
here?
Well, one thing that, well, I mean, they use it in the public water here. But one thing that I will say is, and I don't have the notes right in front of me, but I'm almost 100% sure that the same stuff that's in fluoride is used in the drug called Prozac.
I'll look
and
it up.
Prozac, yeah, Prozac is supposed to ease people into a more submissive state of mind. And maybe that's why we are forced to drink it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will knock out the other two top eight conspiracies. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
I got it. It's hard for me to hear that song and not sing along with it. But, hey, that's Johnny Cash for you. Those are infectious tunes. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. We're in the final minutes of hour number two. Coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. And that means, well, it's late. It's into the period known as Safe Harbor, when we can talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial news stories, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So keep that in mind, and you might want to listen to it, and you might not want to listen to it. But, okay, let's get to these last two of the eight so-called conspiracy theories that are turning out to be true, according to this article I found at collectiveevolution.com. Number seven, over unity energy. Now, this is really interesting to me because since I was a kid, I was always obsessed with this concept that you might think of as perpetual motion. And I know that perpetual motion, by definition, is not possible. But virtual perpetual motion might be. In other words, you take something like a water wheel. As long as the water is running, that thing is going to spin. You take a solar panel. As long as the sun is shining, it's going to charge. So I'm interested in tapping in, you know, to devices that make use of vast, vast resources. But over unity energy really boils down to the idea that there may be some way of extracting energy from what they call the vacuum. In other words, there is some layer of energy kind of in the background all the time, and that there are devices that might be able to tap into it and provide unlimited free energy for everybody. And so they say here in this article, really, you know, to paraphrase, that there is progress being made, but there seem to be issues every single time a scientist or researcher comes forth saying he's making progress. Suddenly, boom, the plug gets pulled. The guy either goes quiet or gets killed. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that is true. Because I have kept up with some of these researchers over the years. I don't have time to get into specifics here, But there was one scientist in particular who was involved with one of these projects who was scheduled to come on my show and be interviewed. I scheduled him 5 days before the interview, and by the time of the interview, he was dead. Swear to God that is true. I won't give his name out right now, but Shelley, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I totally believe this, the whole concept. I mean, let me put it this way. There are people who will kill you to steal $100 out of your wallet. You don't think that there are people out there who will kill you if you are jeopardizing a multi-billion dollar business? Of course. So I totally buy this one. How about you, Sam?
I would go yes on that one. I don't think it's that far-fetched. You don't want you to say something, then they just shut you up.
Yeah, I agree. I am in the yes camp.
To me, it's funny because that kind of thing, again, it's like they're calling this a conspiracy. To me, this just seems, you know, factual. And the last thing on the list here, number 8, is GMOs, genetically modified organisms. It says, few things exemplify more absolutely the fact we are living in a world of deception, manipulation, and fraudulent science than GMOs. Over the past few years, a number of studies, both independent and peer-reviewed, have emerged which clearly outline why GMOs should not be approved as completely safe for human consumption. They give their various reasons for this, but I must tell you guys, I'm not totally against GMOs. I think maybe it's okay to improve certain foods. And here's why I tell you that. Now, this is going to be gross to some people, but this is just an analogy, so cut me some slack here. Let's say I'm in a survival situation and I have to eat a dog, okay? Now, do I want to get some mangy, scrappy, diseased dog that's been running around out here living on its own in the woods, or rather eat a dog that is a pet that has been going to the vet and getting its shots and has been taken care of?
I think we could have found a different analogy
than the dog. The same thing.
Than maybe the dog, because neither of them sound very young. Like, the poor dog, why you want to eat the poor one that's like scrapping along in the woods? They're like, why you want to steal the people's dog? What are you trying to say here?
Okay, maybe that's a bad analogy, but
yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
I
would say I agree with you, because I mean, there's lots of places. I eat a horrible diet, but I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's not natural in a lot of the foods we eat already, and also I see some of the benefits it could have in third world countries that don't have access to food.
Famine-stricken countries. That's what I was hoping you were going for.
But he was going for dog eating.
But no.
I had to go straight for that dog-eating dollar.
Yep.
Oh, well. Well, okay, there you go. We made it through the top 8 conspiracy theories that are supposedly being proven to be true, according to this website. Hope you enjoyed that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, it will be time for the infamous, the notorious Dark 30 Hour. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.